Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. How are you all today? So today is the last session of SGC for the year. On the group chat, some students almost freak out. So we thought maybe we can do an interesting practice. It's called the sometimes we call it chuan ten. So sometimes we call it candlelight procession or candlelight offering. Also known as the offering of light. Yeah. So this practice stems from the teaching that where the Buddha, he used the metaphor of light to represent wisdom and darkness to represent ignorance. In the parable, this person was on a journey and he chanced upon what seemed to be a snake. So he was stricken with fear, but he has to go in that direction. So holding on to his torch, his brand of fire, he moved forward gingerly. And at some point, when he became close enough, the light from the torch giving clarity on what he's looking at, it turned out that there was no snake. Yeah, it was a coil of rope. This story has been retold so many times. So it has quite a special place in Buddhism. At the moment when there's light, adequate light shining on the object, the man has a shift in perception. He clearly sees that there's actually no snake. And at that moment when he sees no snake, then fear disappears. Anxiety disappear. Trepidation disappear. He's no longer fearful. He does not need to put in effort to remove the fear. There's no fear to remove. More like fear don't arise anymore. Once he see that there's actually no snake. But as long as he doesn't see clearly, then there's still fear. Yeah, the snakes seem to be so real. So the snake represents the delusion we have in our mind, the lack of, the absence of light is ignorance. And once you bring light, which represents wisdom, to shine upon whatever we are facing, then we can see clearly. Whenever I hear this story last time, I've always been thinking about this. Like, is this the version that you all hear before? Yeah, for the most part, this is the version you hear. Have you ever thought about why the man have to go in that direction? Like, if you are going back home and then along the way there's a snake, what do you do? Detour lo, call up NEA lo, right? I mean, there are so many ways to go around it, right? But when it comes to a parable, there's no second way around it. Yeah. So I've been thinking about it and I wonder, maybe there's a reason why he has to go in that direction, you know? Maybe there's an impetus, a motivation. Yeah. I don't know whether I'm actually adding legs to snake, yeah. But I thought maybe that man or that person sees a pot of gold behind the snake, and that gives him the impetus to go in that direction. And so after discovering that the pile of snake is actually not snake, just rope, yeah, he proceeds to retrieve his prize, only to find that actually there was no gold as well, just a pile of rocks. Because life is not just about fear and suffering. There's also a lot of things that seem very attractive, you know. For the Buddha said, in this world, there is suffering. Without suffering, there will be no desire, no striving for enlightenment, for liberation, for awakening. In this world, there is pleasure, there is happiness. For if there's none, then sentient beings wouldn't be ensnared, would not be enamored by samsara, will not get stuck, yeah, therein. Yeah, so, this is the last session and we're coming to the end of the year. Good to ask ourselves, which are the snakes in our life? Which are the, are they ropes or are they really snakes? Which are the pot of gold that we have been going after? And only after we get it, then the luster just fades away and we are left with a pile of stones. So without further ado, I want to just start the session today a bit differently. I was thinking about whether to start it with the candlelight offering or to end it with it. And I thought, why do we always do it at the last? Then do it at the last, you look at the candle for a while, then go back home. Now, so I'll offer it, then you can see it for the whole session. Yeah. So we usually start off with the presiding venerable lighting the candle, and then in the meantime, each of you will be given one, and then you will come forward and then light it, and then you will kneel down and offer the light and make an aspiration. Yeah. This is in a way symbolic of how 2600 over years ago, how the Buddha rekindled the light of truth in this world. In the sutta, there's a lot of description where the Buddha painted this imagery of sentient beings coursing through samsara in darkness. 漫长黑夜, yeah, 生死流转, yeah, going through samsara, birth after birth and death, life after life. Yeah, and imagine in the white great ocean in the dark, yeah, sometimes struggling, sometimes just constantly in struggle. And then suddenly, in the midst of all that darkness, there's this beacon of light. I think that would be so amazing. Yeah. But the Buddha didn't just hold on to his light and just say, ah, look, I got light. Yeah, but he shed his light. He shed his wisdom and teach us how to kindle our own light from within. Yeah. So, we have had many sessions this year. I hope the sessions have done service to the Dharma. And with that, let's give out the candles and then I'll light it from there. And while we are doing this, we can recite the Buddha's name. Alma, can I invite you to come up first? Not because she's my mother, but because in terms of practice, I think among you all, she's most senior. Is there anyone who would like to challenge her seniority? Not just in age, not just in physical age, but by number of years. Namo Bhansi Sitya Moni Fo Namo Bhansi Sitya Moni Fo Namo Bhansi Sitya
尼佛那，传下去啊，本是释迦牟尼佛，南无本是释迦牟尼佛，南无本是释迦牟尼佛。南无本师释迦牟尼佛，南无本师释迦牟尼佛，南无本师释迦牟尼佛，南无本师释迦牟尼佛，南无本师释迦牟尼佛，南无本。I will direct you. 迦牟尼佛，南无本师释迦牟尼佛，南无。本是释迦牟尼佛，南无本是释迦牟尼佛，南无本是释迦牟尼佛，南无本是释迦牟尼佛，南无本师释迦牟尼佛，南无本师释迦牟尼佛，南无本师释迦牟尼佛。南无本师释迦牟尼佛，南无本师释迦牟尼佛，南无本师释迦牟尼佛，南无本师释迦摩尼佛，南无本师释迦牟尼佛，南无本师释迦牟尼佛，南无本师释迦牟尼佛，南无本师释迦牟尼佛，南无本师释迦牟尼佛，南无本师释迦牟尼佛，南无本师释迦牟尼佛，南无本师释迦牟尼佛，南无本师释迦牟尼佛，南无本师释迦牟尼佛，南无本师释迦牟尼佛，南无本师释迦牟尼佛，南无本师释迦牟尼佛。
Take a seat. How do y'all feel? Y'all feel good? You all feel blessed. You all feel more enlightened. For those who have been attending my class, you know that I'm not really into much rituals or ceremonies. Before we have this few days, some of the volunteers have asked me again and again, so what's the program flow? And so on and so forth. So I kept telling them, what's so complicated about this? No program flow, just follow my lead. And the reason is because, and as I was sitting there just now, I was thinking, you know, when you go back home and you have your meal, is there a program flow that you follow? As much as sometimes we have a certain routine, yeah, but is there a flow of events at home where you go back and you double check, oh, now I must do this? Is there? Most people should be no. I heard yes. Who has a program chart at home every day? And you don't have an MC also, master of ceremonies. Yeah, is there someone at home who is a master of ceremonies? When you wake up, then, good morning. Yeah, welcome to 2018. What's today's date? 16th of December, and we're going to start the morning at 6 a.m. And you know, is there someone who narrates this for you? Or do you do this to yourself? Is there a flow that is the correct flow? No. When you go back and you, let's say, prepare a meal and you eat, when you finish a meal, what do? Up to you. Some people prefer to wash it. Yeah. Some people prefer to chit-chat with the family first, you know, watch some TV, then during the commercial break, rush in to wash. Some people prefer to finish everything, then before sleeping, wash it. Some people prefer not to even wash it and wait until someone cannot take it, then that person wash. Yeah. I think that is correct. Yeah. But in our day-to-day life, there are many times we do things the way it should be done without having to have someone say, now do this, now do that. When you need someone to tell you, now do this, now do that, there's a tinge of artificialness. There's a tinge of, what do you call that in Chinese? 装作, 造作. 装作 is with intent, 造作 is with lesser motive, yeah, but it's still a bit mechanical, contrived. English would be contrived. Yeah. When something becomes a ceremony, it tends to be a bit contrived. But sometimes ceremonies serve a purpose. Yeah. It highlights the importance, perhaps. Yeah. And sometimes it brings about a certain emotion. Yeah. Certain sets of emotions that you intend to bring along with. Yeah. Like for example, when two person get married, yeah, there's some fanfare, there's some ceremony to go through. The traditional Chinese custom would be to offer tea to all the seniors, and then after that, for the new couple to offer tea, to accept tea from all the church, if you will. Does it matter whether you do it or not? Is there anyone who have attended such ceremonies where they offer coffee instead of tea? You know, and traditionally must be Chinese tea, some kind of, don't know, particular kind of Chinese tea perhaps. And maybe for different dialects, different kind of teas. Why isn't there anyone who start offering Starbucks perhaps? You know? Yeah. Or how about cappuccino? Is it okay if someone turn up and offer cappuccino instead? How about Coke? You know, maybe to the seniors you offer tea, but then the couple themselves, maybe they prefer Coke. Yeah, maybe diet Coke. Yeah, does it matter? Sometimes we follow customs and traditions because it has been observed for a long time. And with that observance, it brings about that commonness in the values that you believe in. Oftentimes, when we observe a certain custom, sometimes we think that it is the very process itself that is important. It is the very act. When you light the candle, who light first, and so on, that matters. Even to the point of how high to raise a candle. Oh, jialat, just now I saw everybody rise up, then I forgot. Oh, is that bad karma? I walked halfway, my candlelight went off. Oh no, does it mean I don't have enough wisdom? These are thoughts that went through my mind literally when I was much younger. Like, walk halfway, jialat. But I suspect sometimes it's planted in us. Yeah? When our mother or father or whoever, like, how come your light go off? And then sometimes people impute certain significance. Because, Sufu, you explain, ma, light represent wisdom. And everybody else's light didn't go off, mine went off. So I have candle but no light. So I have Dharma but no wisdom. Is that what it means? So this is where we sometimes hold too much significance to the symbolism, to the rituals, to the rites, to the ceremonies. We should not simply just cast away all ceremonies because it helps to fulfill that devotional part. But we must know that it should only serve to that end, to uplift us spiritually, to motivate us, to inspire us, only to the end. And it means that no matter what happens, that is the end that it should bring. And so even if your light go off, you should not let that mar the whole occasion. It should not let that cause you to second guess the whole point of this practice. Because then otherwise it means that you are actually sort of reading too much into it. Customs, rituals, ceremonies. So do you all feel more enlightened after offering the light? There's one custom, there's one ritual that we have every week, which is to go through and see who is new on my left and right flank. Let me see. I think all accounted for on my left. On my right, I see a new face. This lady here, are you new? Yes. Tell us your name and how you got to know about us. Is what?
Christine.
Uh-huh. So found us through Google? Found me through Google.
Found us.
Uh-huh. I see. And here you are. Welcome. Who else? Anybody else? I think the rest are all season parking holders. In the past, it will not be Eventbrite. In the past, it will be, I can imagine like 1,000 years ago, and then the 师父, 老师父 like, 这位施主, 你为什么今天会上山? 老和尚, 我已经招你很多年了。 10年前我做了一个梦。 You can imagine how, yeah. In fact, recently, one devotee shared with me how he dreamt of me and how he had a very long conversation, a long chat with me. Yeah. But then when he woke up, he can't remember what we talked about. So he decided he had to have lunch with me to try to figure out what the conversation was about. Yeah, I have reached that stage where people dream about me. And have long conversations. So anyway, welcome to SGC. We have quite a standard template for our weekly programs. We have short puja, combination of Pali chanting and Chinese chanting, to bridge those who are English speaking and also the Chinese Mahayana heritage. Yeah, and then we have short meditation. Yeah, not to have the group cultivation focus simply on devotional practices, but also on the practice of the development of the mind. Yeah, and then the bulk of it is actually Dharma sharing. Yeah, for without the Dharma, then all other practices is without a direction. So I was saying that as part of SGC, every week we have different programs. On the first and the third of the week of the month, rather, we would have the classes on the Diamond Sutra. Yeah, so we have volunteers who very kindly do the recording and a bit of editing, put it on YouTube. So especially for you, Christine, if you want to catch up on the earlier chapters. Oh, well, not really chapters because we are still on the first chapter. You can actually go online and look at the past series. So we're going to go maybe about a short while into this. Then we'll proceed into the year-end reflection. Okay? So the last session, we've stopped here. Wei ran shi zun. Yeah, Wei ran, as I explained before, is shi. Yeah. Yes, Shi Zun, the world honored one, referring to the Buddha. Yuan Le Yi Wen, yeah, we will give due attention. We are very happy, we are delighted. Yeah, we wish to listen to the teachings. So, Fo Gao Shi Pu Ti. Let me get my pen. So this is Venerable Shubhuti. Yeah, he is known for his understanding of emptiness. Jie Kong Di Yi. Yeah, understanding and explanation of emptiness. So, Zhu Pu Sa Mo He Sa Ying Ru Si Xiang Fu Qi Xing. Yeah, so this is the Buddha's reply. So this is the opening of the reply, and this itself is the part of the reply of how a bodhisattva should subdue one's mind. So if you recall the earlier sessions, we went quite a bit, going through what it means by the various parts of the teachings, what it means by for the Buddha to keep these cultivators in mind. What does the Buddha do for them? Yeah, to guide them, to teach them, to on the practices. So the opening question previously was, that those who have established bodhicitta, in other words, bodhisattvas. And quite specifically referring to those who are, at the initial stage. And my teacher split them into those who have already reached a certain level versus those who are of the lower level. Yeah. And how they can practice. So this is the Buddha's reply. Yeah. Zhu Pu Sa Mo He Sa. So all the bodhisattvas and the great beings. So the various bodhisattvas and Mahasattvas. Mahasattvas are literally translated as great beings. Yeah? Or we can say great ones. Yeah? So those bodhisattvas who have reached a high level. Yeah? So, 应如是调伏降伏起心. So this is how one they should subdue the mind. Yeah. So who are these bodhisattvas? So according to my teacher, those who have observed the bodhisattva vows, those who have established bodhicitta, are known as bodhisattvas. Have you all established bodhicitta?
Love.
Yeah. But if you have ever have this thought to care for others, to care for someone else's well-being. Have you ever cared for other people's well-being? If you have, then you are in the direction of the bodhisattva. Direction doesn't mean you're there yet. But at least you're in that same direction. Yeah. The trouble is, we are not always in this direction. Sometimes in this direction, sometimes we are not in this direction. Yeah. So, to the extent that you are in that direction, to the extent you have established bodhicitta. To the extent you have established bodhicitta, then to the extent we can say you are a bodhisattva. But bodhisattvas and bodhisattvas are different. Yeah, they are the unenlightened ones, chufa-sing, that means just established. Yeah? Just established is like someone saying, oh, I wish to become a doctor in future. Yeah, you have the aspiration, you wish to do it, but does it make you a doctor? Not yet. Oh, I want to strive and attain Buddhahood. I want to walk the bodhisattva path. Have you started walking? Not necessarily. Yeah, so there are those who have only set off with their mind, yeah, with the bodhicitta, but not started yet. There are those who have started and learning. There are those who are learning and have reached a certain level of a stage. We call it bhumi, yeah, ground, ti. Yeah. So first stage, second stage, third stage, up to stage 10. And there are those who have gone beyond stage 10 and attained Buddhahood. Yeah. So so all includes all of them. Yeah. And what should they do? 应如是降伏起心. So this is how one should subdue 降伏起心. So this is the interesting part. This thing, what is it referring to? Yeah, what is it referring to? You will recall earlier, it talked about, my teacher shared about how to have that the mindset to attain Buddhahood. Yeah, but sometimes we degenerate. Sometimes we help halfway, then we give up. Yeah. So how to subdue this mind. Yeah. Another angle is linked to the verse below. Yeah. As we are doing this other's path, because we have only started, we still have all kinds of views. Yeah. We still have attachment. We still have different mindset. What kind of mindset? Mindset of a self. Yeah. Within ourselves, within this body, without this body, in others, we still have this grasping on to the identity of a self. Yeah. So below, 有我相、人相、众生相、寿者相, yeah, the different aspects, the different perception of a being. Yeah. Grasping on to that perception. And if a person do that, then hard to discharge the hard to walk the bodhisattva path. So Let me bring in what my teacher has to say about this part. So this part answers the question, earlier question, how to establish the mind and how to practice. So so I'm going to cite, as I did before, I didn't bring my book, so I have the text in the soft copy form. 因为菩萨发的无上菩提心是为饶益诸有情故，所以菩提心中包含着大悲心。 So over here, before I even go into the following, the main text itself, when we talk about bodhisattvas having bodhicitta, we must know that within that it includes what? Includes great compassion. Includes great compassion. So do we have great compassion? How to have great compassion? We sometimes think, to have compassion, then we must try to please people, or we try to help people. Yeah, we should help people. We should try to help people to be happy, to be free of suffering. Yeah, but sometimes we have to also do that with wisdom. The past few days, in a few different classes, some of you have asked the question, what if when we do something, then somebody is not happy? The person get very upset when we do some things. Should we stop? Should we stop? On the basis of compassion, of bodhicitta, should we then stop? If what we are doing is something harmful, something bad, consciously we are intending to harm, of course we should stop. The predicament perhaps for some students is the thing that they are doing is actually not harmful, in fact wholesome. Somehow some people don't like it. Some of you have directly shared with me how your family members, your parents are not happy when you learn Dharma. So as when you are in school, right? Primary school, your teacher want you to do homework, right? Are you happy? You're not happy also, ma? Can the teacher say, I'm not happy, okay, don't do. Can or not? But when you go to secondary school, does the teacher make you do homework? Still make you do homework. JC, there's tutorial, bopian, still have to do. University, actually still have to. But in university and JC, it's a bit different. In university and JC or poly, during the lecture, whether you listen or not, they don't really care anymore. They don't really care anymore. You talk yours, he talk his. Some of the lectures in year one would tell us, you are already adults. So you must know that my responsibility is to teach, but your responsibility is to learn. If you don't learn, that's your choice. You're the one who is going to fail. Sit up. Please don't come to Dharma class to sleep. I remember there was one sutta. The Buddha actually highlighted that if you go to the temple or something and you meet the Sangha, but you don't learn meaning that doesn't mean that you go there and you try very hard but you cannot learn, then you have bad karma. No. But if you go there but with the wrong mindset and you choose not to learn, it's actually something going to happen to you. So don't never go to sometimes you try that. Okay. But if you just basically lean back, you know, and just basically give in, just then myself go and stand behind, go down, run around Geylang 3 rounds and come back. Yeah. Go toilet, wash up. Yeah, serious. Yeah. Because if you really examine, we actually have a rule, we have a precept. Not just one precept, a whole series of precepts. Yeah. Well, I won't recite the verse because we are recording. Later, some seniors come and, you know, give it to me. Yeah, not supposed to recite the verses to you, but I will just tell you the gist of it. That there are a whole series of precepts under the Vinaya, where individuals under certain circumstances, we are not to teach. If a person display a series of behavior, we are required not to teach. Yeah, we should not teach. And why? Because it doesn't do that person any good. Yeah, if a person carry weapon, carry stuff, is in a posture that is not proper, we shouldn't teach. Many years back when I was in the US, there were some visitors. It's not a Christian thing, but happen to be Christian. So, but we allow them to. I mean, we don't say you're Christian, you cannot come in. So I was the guest monk. I showed them around, and when they asked whether they can stay over for the night, two guys. I'm like, sure. I consulted my senior, so we let them stay. Then one of them asked whether he can have an audience later. You know, he has some questions he want to ask about Buddhism. So I was still, I think maybe still a samanera, or maybe just newly ordained. So the trouble with people at that stage is, you're so eager, no? Wow, you feel like you want to go and transform the whole world. You're ready, you know? Wow, I'm Buddhist, I want to change the whole world, yes! So, wow, the moment they ask, then I'm like, yes, let's do it. Yeah, so that evening, went over to the lay dorm, and then the two of them sat down, and I said, and now when I think back, the first mistake was, one of them was sitting like that, one leg over the armrest of the sofa. Like, you don't sit in this way anywhere else, right? You know? You're talking to your, who are you talking to, you know? Yeah. Doesn't matter that I'm a monk. Even with your friend, who sit in this way, you know? So, much later, when I reflected on that incident, then I start to appreciate why there are those rules. Because if a person display in body language the kind of disrespect, then no matter what you say, the person is just coming to pick a fight, you know, which as the conversation ensue, that's the case. Yeah. Traditionally, you all cannot sit your own pattern, no. Traditionally, especially when we're going through sutrano, diamond sutrano less, you know, not just a topic, 师父 15分钟 开始, this is sutra. Traditionally, all of you jolly well heard zang. Yeah, really, no. Throughout the whole talk, until some point, the Lao Hesang fang zang. Then everybody fang zang. Yeah. But I seldom put in such demands. Yeah. And traditionally, those on the seat, they have to find some way to sit, but not higher than the speaker. Yeah. But even today, even in the Theravadan tradition, some of these are a bit not so stringently upheld. Because for a start, when I go to NTU, NUS to give a talk, sometimes they organize it in the LT. In the LT, everybody is seated higher than you. So I explain this to them. I say, what am I going to do? I sit. I go up, then you all come down and sit reverse on the chair. Yeah. So So it's about whether the individuals are having the right attitude. And it's not for me. When we first go learn about some of this, it seems like, wow, all these rules put the monk on a high pedestal. It's not, you know. Because if the listener is in the wrong frame of mind, and then, number one, immediately cannot absorb Dhamma. Number two, actually planting new seeds, you know. Planting new seeds. In future, when the person decides, I want to learn Dhamma, you have a lot of obstacles. We'll have obstacles. Yeah. So, I like to think out of compassion, I must highlight this to you. But I can only highlight so many times, otherwise the whole class is about highlighting this. But if I say one time, two times, some of you still like this, that, then go better. And then next time when you all have difficulty learning Dhamma, you all cannot say, no one ever tell me. You must know on the 16th of December 2018, there was a monk who tell you all. So, 应如是相夫其心. So, within the bodhicitta, there is actually great compassion. So, what I've just shared, the nice thing to do is let people be. But the right thing to do is to highlight this. And to, you know, let, at least, because sometimes you all maybe never heard of this, don't know, and unaware. But after someone highlight, you all, from now on, you all go and observe. Even not during Dhamma talk, when you are in the office, when you are with your friends, you observe your own body language, you observe people's body language. You think about it, I always like to use very ridiculous, worldly example. One guy, one girl, pato, if they are on good terms, do you think they will sit like that? They will be leaning towards each other. There will be interest, you know, there's, you know, that bodily language interest. No matter how tired they were. But don't be mistaken. Don't apply your interest on me. I'm just giving you the message. Have interest on the message, the Dhamma. So, 所有一切众生之类, all the various sentient beings. So, the bodhicitta, the great compassion, is not to one particular sentient being, or two particular sentient beings, or one category of sentient being, or that category of sentient beings, but for all sentient beings. 所有一切众生之类, all the different classes, categories of sentient beings. So here, 若卵生若湿生若胎生若湿生若化生. So this is what we call the four forms of rebirth. So the first one is through run, loosely translated as egg. So the second is through the womb. So I don't know whether there's a more elegant way to express this, but literally run would be egg, egg born. Is there a technical, like medical, scientific way to express this? Egg born. And this is birth through the womb. 湿身 and 化身 is interesting. So 化身 means birth by manifestation. And then 湿身 by moisture. So in the various texts, it describes how certain beings, the moment they have moisture, then they will be able to come alive. So I have discussed with various monks on this. Nobody seemed to have any pinned down. I mean, there are some texts that when they translate, they will talk about certain categories. But then if you compare the category of beings found in the sutta versus what we know today through science, there's a lot of different categories which sometimes it's a bit ambiguous. My teacher highlighted that these four, as opposed to the commonly used, like we look at the six realms, yeah. So these four covers both those that is requiring parents, has physical, and then those that is through manifestation. So those that is through manifestation would include the heavenly realm, the hell realm, and part of ghost realm. Or for the most part, all of ghost realm rather. Yeah. Then Ruansheng, Hua, Taisheng, Shisheng, the first three. So Taisheng would include human, but also animal, of course. And Ruansheng would be purely animal realm. And then Shisheng, in most texts, would be the animal realm as well. Yeah. So Asura typically straddles between animal realm and the heavenly realm. Yeah. So depending on whether it's earthbound or airbound, then it varies. Oh. Then next you have 若有色若无色若有想若无想若非有想非无想. So 若有色若无色. So the first category that we have gone through earlier can be seen as describing the sensual desire realm. Yeah. But not necessarily so, because 化身 can include the other ones as well. Then we have the that which has physical form. More correctly, that which has physical form includes sensual desire realm plus form realm. Oh, so this one includes these two. Then 无色, formless, yeah. So formless, of course, then correspond to the formless realm. The next part is even more interesting. So this is where I would like to defer to my teacher and just share with you what he goes through. Ruo you xiang, ruo wu xiang. So it's talking about our mind. So what is you xiang, what is wu xiang? Yeah, so wu xiang, this wu xiang, the state or the realm without perception. Yeah, which one is it? It is in the fourth jhana. So let me see how I can do this. I'm going to zoom in here. So I zoom in, then I have more space. So we have the... So we have first jhana, second jhana, third jhana, fourth jhana. So in the formless, in the form, then there is this particular one. 四禅天的无想天. So there's one in this fourth jhana realm. There's one particular one which is called the non-perception. Yeah, the level of non-perception. Yeah, 无想天. This particular one is 无想. So what does it mean by 无想? So the sixth consciousness, yeah, 第六识不动. Yeah, sixth consciousness doesn't move. In other words, the mind consciousness. Some of you may be familiar. You have, Wien, you raise your hand. Oh, sorry, both I write formless. Yeah, form. Yeah, form and formless. So, in the Buddhist teaching, without bringing in Yogacara, we have the eye, ears, nose, tongue, body, yeah, and the mind. The mind is a sixth consciousness. So we have, in this particular one, the mind consciousness is inactive. Yeah. Mind consciousness is inactive, this particular one. So then, how about the rest? The rest is considered. So here is sensual desire realm. So the rest of it, excluding this, all considered 有想, with perception. Yeah. Hang on. So, 其余的欲界、色界、无色界的众生都是有想. Yeah. So, 若非有想、非无想, 就是 单指无色界最高的非有想、非无想天. So over here, at the top, so there's four stages. First is 空无边处定, 实无边处定, 无所有处定, 非想, 非非想处定. So this particular one, up to this particular stage. Neither perception nor non-perception. So neither perception. So perception would be, let me use a different color to show you all the difference. So I'm going to use green. So perception would be this whole section here, up to here. And this one all the way down. Okay. Then none, so this is perception. And then non-perception, I use another color. So this one is non-perception. Okay, non-perception. Clear? Yeah. And then this particular category is neither perception. Not this one, nor non-perception. So it is separate from this whole chunk here. 非有想非无想. The shortened expression is 非想非非想. 非想非非想. Someone raise a hand? No. Okay. But now some of you are like, what has this got to do with Diamond Sutra? So this whole thing, yeah, from this part up to this, 若有想若无想若非有想非无想, is basically going through the six realms in terms of the state of the mind. Yeah. So covering all the different permutation, different classes, different categories of beings. Yeah. Sometimes when we go through the sutra, we may feel like, aiya, on top we really say 一切众生之类嘛, yeah. But the Buddha oftentimes like to be explicit. Yeah. So go through all possible categories so that you have no doubt that this is the scope that bodhisattvas cover, yeah, the recipient, yeah, of great compassion is covering all possible permutation and combination of categories. Yeah, towards all these different categories, what does the bodhisattva do? 我皆令入无余涅槃而灭度之. Yeah, I shall literally means I shall cause them to enter into Paramita Nibbana and be liberated. So this is how the Buddha say Bodhisattva should practice, yeah, to subdue the mind. So what kind of mind is being subdued? Actually is our discriminating mind, our mind with attachment, yeah, grasping on to the different categories. Yeah. Bodhisattvas must transcend all the different categories. To be able to help all categories, you must transcend the categories. But most of these categories is, in a way, at this point in time, irrelevant to us. Yeah. Which category can you see? Are you all, last week, did you all have coffee with the Fei Yu Xiang, Fei Wu Xiang category? I suppose no. How about the Yu Xiang Tian? Anybody went last week? No. Wu Xiang Tian? The Se Jie Tian? Wu Se Jie Tian? Anyone? I think the front part is more relevant to us. Hua Sen, did you all encounter any Hua Sen beings? Any heavenly beings you encounter? Ghosts, anyone? Nobody want to see this category also. How about the Si Sen? There are some who suggest that Si Sen actually refers to bacteria and so on. Because once they have moisture, then, you know, they can survive. There are also those who refer to certain living organisms. I think I read somewhere that scorpion, in a way, they are through eggs, right? But all they need is moisture. Yeah, in that period, they don't need anything else. Yeah, they just need the egg to have moisture. Then they can develop, something like that. So the one that's most familiar for us is the first two, Ransen and Taisen. Yeah, but if you consider, to begin with, for us, maybe we should start with human beings first. Yeah, to practice compassion towards human beings first. Yeah. But the standard that the Buddha hold the Bodhisattvas to is not simply having that mindset, oh, I want to liberate sentient beings. Because if you look further, 如是灭度无量无数无边众生已，实无众生得度，得灭度者. Yeah. So even after the Bodhisattvas have this mindset and book, you know, go on the Bodhisattva path, liberate countless, boundless, innumerable sentient beings. In reality, there is no sentient being that is being liberated. What? What kind of mindset is that? Then comes the question. So Buddha knows that we have this question. 何以故? How is this so? How can this be understood? 须菩提, 若菩萨有我相、人相、众生相、寿者相, 即非菩萨. This is the punchline. Yeah. As far as the front part is concerned, 相符其心. Yeah, this is the mind. That when we start off, we have all these different kind of mindset. 有我相、人相、众生相、寿者相. All this is a different permutation of the ego perception, the ego view. Yeah, whether in terms of just the self, yeah, or a person, or a being, yeah, or a perception of being transversing multiple lives, yeah, or that there is a being that grows old, grows up, grows old, yeah. All these are different expression of that grasping on to the self, to the ego. And the Buddha is holding bodhisattvas to this high ideal. Yeah. That even if you, wow, to liberate so many sentient beings, if you are to hold on to the view, there are sentient beings that you have liberated, then you are not a bodhisattva. Oh, this is a high standard. And if you tie this back to the earlier, the first opening question, where Venerable Shibuti asks, how should those who have started on this path practice? Yeah. How should they establish their mind? Yeah. That means they have bodhicitta. But how should they maintain this bodhicitta? Because bodhicitta is with reference to sentient beings. So here it's saying, even as you strive to liberate sentient beings, you have compassion for sentient beings, but you must not grasp on to sentient beings. You must not grasp on to the perception of sentient beings. Non-attachment. We can sort of summarize it and say, to not have that, what do you call that? 不着相, yeah, non-grasping onto whatever we perceive. And this is the same theme that would appear again and again throughout this whole sutra. So 15 more days, 2 more weeks, yeah?
2 more weeks.
Is it 2 more weeks? Around 2 weeks, and then 2018 will come to an end. I want to just do a short reflection. If you want to have long reflection, you can go to my blog. I have written down many reflections every year. And every year I start to wonder, I still feel more or less the same. Do I have to write something new? So after a while, I stopped writing new things. I don't really feel any different from last year. So people can just go and read the previous year. Earlier on, over lunch, when we were finishing up, I was sharing with the various students this very simple thought. And I thought maybe I would share with you all here. You know, we talk about karma, we talk about past life, future life, we talk about cultivation. How many of you think that you will be reborn as a human being in the next life? Huh? Let me repeat the question slower. How many of you think that you would be reborn as a human being in the next life? Not whether you wish to, but a matter of whether you end up being reborn as a human being. So you all don't think you will qualify as a... You all think that you all will be in Pure Land? How many of you... let's just go through the realms. First of all, Pure Land. Who think that you will somehow just end up in Pure Land? Anyone? Heavenly realm? No? Then just now human realm, nobody. So you all think that you'll be going down lower realms? Huh? Is my class really so bad? like, and yet you are still here, so you are resigned that, to that, you know, better this than nothing lah. It's like, well, I didn't expect this reflection to go this way. But let's just, you know, let's just assume that maybe we don't succeed. Oh wait. Maybe all of you think that, or all of you are confident that this true attending SGC, this life, arahanthood. No. Ah, no wonder. Amitofo. Yeah, saving grace. Hey, wait. Suddenly I realized that there's this guy behind that I haven't seen before. The guy in white. Have I seen you before? No, ah. What's your name? Tell us your name. Sorry? Jia Si. Oh. And how do you get to know about this group? Huh? Who is that pointing to the wall? What's your friend's name? You don't know your friend's name? Huh? Oh, so you didn't know her name before that? Welcome. Okay. Oh, he was quietly sitting down there. This sifu didn't catch me. Yeah, so, okay, assuming that you're going to be reborn as a human being next life, okay? Doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, at some point, okay? And assuming you get reborn in Singapore. Hey, not bad, no. Yeah. It's actually pretty awesome if you ask me. I mean, there are things that's not so good, but it's pretty awesome by any standard. With that out of the way, yeah, that is the environment. That is the habitat. That is the environmental, you know, factors. Whenever we talk about the rebirth, we tend to think about, oh, how good or how bad that place is. And it's the same as when we talk about going to a new company. We want to find out how good, how bad that company is. When we want to move to a new place, we want to find out how good, how bad that place is. We seldom ask ourselves what kind of person we want to bring there. As in, because when you go to that place, you are bringing this person there. So that's why I let's just get the destination out of the way, assuming that you're going to be reborn in Singapore or whatever amazing country you want, okay? Let's not limit our dreams. I mean, since we are dreaming, you know. But to ask a more pertinent question, what kind of baby do you want to be? I mean, assuming if you are born on Earth, you're going to be a baby. So ask yourself, if you can have the best of all the conditions, yeah, not that you're going to be war country, whatever, best conditions, then you ask yourself, what kind of baby do you want to be? So I told them, yeah, because how you are now is going to determine what kind of baby come to this world in future, you know. Talk about nurturing the future. So ask yourself, do you want to be the kind of baby where, you know, you cry the whole night, disturb your parents, whatever your parents feed you, you know? And if you step yourself out of that baby situation, you ask yourself, if you see a baby like that, do you think the baby is happy? I don't think so, you know? Then you ask yourself, do you want to be an unhappy baby if you have a choice? When we look at baby, we often think that they don't have a choice. But now you can make that choice. How to make that choice? Don't be like that. Don't be like that now. Very simple. You know? Don't be so fussy and picky. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Don't be the kind where someone do something to you or say something that you make you unhappy, then you hold it in your mind for 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, 4 year, 5 year, 6 year, 7 year, 10, 20, 20. Then you come out to become a baby like that. Some baby come up, then some baby come up. Yeah. You think about it, what kind of baby do you want to be? Very simple. Do you want to be a happy baby? Yeah. Every day smiling? Yeah. Pee on yourself, also smile? I mean, are there babies who are still smile when they are peeing? I mean, I'm sure there are some who they'll be uncomfortable. But ask yourself, do you want to train yourself to be a baby who will definitely cry when you pee yourself? Or do you want to be a baby who can still make a choice and be able to say, oh dear, I pee myself. well, maybe I can hold for a while, you know, and maybe my mom will come. And if your mom don't come fast enough, then you're like, wah, wah. And then you stop and like kind of wait like, wah, wah. Instead of like, wah, 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 you know, what kind of baby do you want to be? And as you grow up to become a toddler, what kind of toddler do you want to be? Do you want to become a toddler who, like, all my toys, these are all my toys, nobody have it, you know? Yeah, because if you find that you don't want that kind of baby in future to come into this world, then stop being like that now. It's that simple. But before we go so far as to talk about next life, we can perhaps look at next year. Next year, there'll be this person who arrives in Singapore, already fully grown. Isn't it wonderful? You take rebirth next year, but you don't have to go through the whole process of primary school, you know. I mean, some of you are still going through it. If you think about it, right, next year is super exciting, though. You're taking rebirth next year, and all of us are going to be reborn 1st of January, except that we don't have to go through all the PSLE stress and everything, you know, O-level stress, all done. And now all you have to choose is what kind of 35-year-old person you are is going to come into rebirth in Singapore. What kind of 40-year-old, or for that matter, 25-year-old, what kind of Singaporean is going to appear in Singapore? Okay, but let's take out Singaporean, otherwise this has become like national, the kind of prep talk. No, it's not about that. Yeah, because regardless of where you are, which country you're from, you ask yourself, yeah, next year, there's that chance. We still have 15 days. You know, sometimes we wonder like, oh, wow, but we hear about Bardo teaching, then like, oh, but how to prepare? Yeah, now you have 15 days to prepare for next year. Yeah, you have 15 days to prepare for the rebirth in 2018. So ask yourself, what kind of fully grown baby do you want to be? Do you still want to be a baby in 2019? When things don't go your way, then you... Wah, wah, wah. Or sometimes it's the opposite. Do you want to be that baby who is insecure of yourself? Do you want to be that full-grown baby who is not able to decide? What kind of full-grown baby do you want to be? Think about it. 2018 is almost over. What's done is done. Good to reflect, but don't mull over it. Don't beat yourself over it. Doesn't do anybody any good. Whatever is done is done. And it's not just yourself. Whatever you have done is done. Whatever people done to you is also done also. Yeah? Unless you can somehow magically undo it. Yeah. You go and go to the person, slap the person, and the moment you slap, and then you wake up with no recollection of that incident. That nobody have a recollection of that incident, and whatever harm, trauma, whatever, is gone. And then if you are very confident, then it's worthwhile to go and give the person a slap. You know? Or to even be angry for 3 minutes. I will go so far as to say, but it's your choice. If you're angry and you go to hell, it's not my choice. You know what I mean? If you want to get upset, at least it should have some parietal effect. It should bring you some benefit. Other than just venting, you know? If not, then why do that to yourself especially? So whatever has happened in 2018 has gone. Perhaps it's better to highlight, like, It's like watching a trailer, you know, except this is a reverse trailer. Trailer is about movies that is coming. This is a reverse trailer. Like imagine if 2018 is a movie and you want to do a trailer. Do you want to highlight all the down, all the miserable days and minutes and hours? Or do you want to highlight some, you know, some of the spectacular moments? Yeah. I mean, every Sunday is spectacular. Yeah, so think about those days in this year where someone, you know, without you asking, lend a hand to you. Someone thought about you. Someone cared about you. Don't spend your time thinking about those people who didn't care about you. They didn't think about you. Why should you think about them? They didn't care for you. Why should you care that they didn't care for you? You know, there are so many other people who care for you. Yeah. Go and care for those who cared for you. And if you feel that you could have and should have cared more for some individuals, then good news. Take a post-it note and then write it down. 2019, yeah, I want to care for this person. And then stick it on your wall. Yeah, but must be careful, because Chinese New Year is coming. You must tell family members, don't take this off. Otherwise, care for 1 month plus, and then... I like what Bhante said the other day, and I shared, I think on Friday, he shared about how he lived without regrets. How he lived without regrets, very simple. He always just asked himself, if I do this, what is the consequences? What is the result? Is the result something that I will regret? If it is, then I don't do it. Very simple. Sifu, tell us earlier lah, I don't have to attend SGC the whole year. I'm serious. If you all can do this and you choose not to come to SGC anymore, I will say sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. But you make sure you stick to it. The moment you cannot, then you must come again. Or then SGC full house, everybody cannot do it. Yeah, and that's the trick, no? That's the difficult part, how to do it. So when I heard Bhante say that, since he has ordained at the age of 12 until this year, 80 years old, for this 68 years, he just followed this principle. Because when he was ordained, he barely knew any Dharma, he said. Yeah, but as he learned, then he just realized that, yeah, he just stick to this principle. And I was like, you would have thought that, wow, you know, all the senior monks have some amazing practice, special practice. You know, a lot of devotees always ask, like, hey, Sifu, is there any shortcut, any special practice? But actually, you find that the more experienced these masters are, these teachers are, the most simple, straightforward kind of practice they tell you, but yet the most profound and difficult to do. Yeah. So when I heard Bhante share this, that he just do this. And so his whole life, he has no regrets. Oh, I was so full of admiration. My respect for him just, you know, like the Japanese, the show, like, no, 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 yeah. Like, this is a living person who tell us, you know, matter-of-factly, not like show-off or anything, and not like keke like that, but as a matter of fact, that this is what he do. Wow, I was like, not 1 day, 2 days, no. Not 1, 2 years, you know. 58 years. Or 68 years. Wow. And I asked myself, will I be able to say that when I'm 80 years old? I must say that in my whole life, there are some decisions that I would say not the best. Sometimes you pek chek, then you say this. Sometimes you are upset, then you and then after that, sometimes I ask myself. And that's why whenever people ask me about the kind of some teachings, I don't have much to say. But when they ask me about defilements, I have a lot of things to say. Yeah, because I'm quite good at defilements. But instead of mulling over the should have, shouldn't have, focus on, take that as an indicator, not of your past failure, but as an indicator on what more to do. It is like, imagine you are coming with a new handphone, yeah, and then your customer give you feedback. This one not good, that one not good. Don't take it as a criticism. I mean, you can take it as a criticism, but take it as, okay, this is going to be a new feature list next year for the next version of your OS, of your handphone, you know? Yeah. Handphones upgrade, you know, come out with new versions every 6 to 9 months. Why shouldn't we come out with a new version? So next year, coming soon, 1st Jan 2019, akan datang. New babies coming out. So I hope maybe after we do dedication, we don't have to rush off immediately. We don't have to immediately queue up to exchange also. But you can just spend maybe 1 or 2 minutes. Just sit there quietly and reflect. Yeah. And maybe if you have or have not, you can pen down and ask yourself some of these questions that I have shared. Yeah. And ask yourself, what kind of baby do you want to be in 2019? Yeah. Do you want to be one who bring laughter to others, peace to others, joy to others? Or do you want, or not? What type of experience do you want to bring others? And grow in the Buddha Dharma. 愿消三藏诸烦恼, 愿得智慧真明了, 普愿罪障悉消除, 世世常行菩萨道, 阿弥陀佛, 起立。